to 40 loving dickheads, dreaming about a premiership cup. We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years.
The shit house.
Charlie, the Bulldogs have got two flags now.
I hate you.
If you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one car.
It is a Sunday, the 24th of September. Welcome to Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And my name is Charlie Clawson.
And Charlie was just giving me a high five.
Here's a biscuit.
Very well supportive done. Of you. I've made it through to the grand final.
Yeah.
Grand final week, Charlie. Very exciting.
It's coming around so quick. And we've been a bit bitchy and moany about AFL the last kind of like few weeks.
Yeah, basically how this podcast was meant to be. That's what we thought it would be when we started it. It would just be like a modern day football version of Statler and Waldorf sitting on a balcony bitching about other people's success. And then just surprisingly to us in the first season, the Bulldogs, went all the way and, kind of redefined things to the point where this season there was a lot of talk about how, you know, the bye was going to be counterproductive. But what we have found, it turns out, is the teams who got the bye, the teams who got the week off still benefited from that and are in the grand final.
Yeah. And this week of finals, the preliminary finals, do you want to say that?
The prelims. The old prelims.
They weren't particularly close contests, but I felt it was a really good weekend of football in terms of emotion. Like, both those games had huge emotional tags with them, and I thought they both delivered very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was... this is the result. Like, in this season, this greatest of all seasons, you know, the final series has been a little one-sided. There hasn't been a lot of really cracking, close games in this final series. But at the end of the season, you have...
Well, what we had was the absolute closest possible you could get, and then a bunch of blowouts.
Yeah.
So we had, like, both ends of the spectrum, but just nothing in the middle.
Yeah, but also, we had a really close game in the game that no one gave a shit about. It was like
the lowest stakes.
Right. Yeah. It was like, yeah, someone made a perfect movie. No one saw it. Yeah. It was out for 3 days. Sorry, mate. Transformers was in the cinema for 9 months. But it seems to me that the two best teams in the competition have made the grand final. And I think last year was a fairy tale, but you don't want it to be, I don't think, you know, a lottery. I think there is something really nice in the idea that despite how crazy this season seemed, I think the two best teams have ended up in the grand final.
Yeah. And it felt when you were sort of speculating on potential grand final showdowns, and you were saying part of you wanted to see Geelong Richmond because it's Dangerfield versus Martin. It's two big Victorian teams, blah, blah, blah. And you got me excited by that. But then as it's turned out to be Adelaide and Richmond, I'm like, no, that's the best storyline result.
Absolutely in the terms of, that there's no bad story.
Exactly.
So whoever wins, however it goes, it's a great story. That's what's set up now. You're like, oh, great. Like, you know, Nadal and Federer have made the final and you're like, oh, great. Yeah. This is what we all wanted to see. This is really exciting, right? And I absolutely agree with you because this Adelaide Football Club, like, they are, their story, you know, the losses they've been through, the way that they've rebounded, like the exciting brand of football that they play. And then Richmond coming from, like, in the season that was the most Richmondy of all, in a mad world, Charlie, is the only sane thing madness? That's what I've got to ask.
Yeah. I mean, dare they dream? I don't know that they're going to make it through this week.
I mean, this is the thing, is like, people talk about, you know, Richmondy. Has this season been Richmondy? I think it's been, we've been talking about this since earlier in the season, that we felt like people were getting obsessed with the short-term Richmondiness of it when there was a much longer... We felt it from early on. There's something happening here. There's a longer con. There's a longer game. And now it's just set up that no matter what happens, I mean, if they belt home, if they win the whole thing, then that's brilliant. It kind of puts a stamp on it. But it's got so much potential to not be that. I mean, this Cotchin thing was almost as we predicted in jest on the podcast, which is, you know, a minor infraction that could have him out. I mean, I don't think he'll miss the grand final, do you?
I don't think so. I think this is, the AFL would be insane not to just kind of just loosen up the rules, the interpretations around this time. I always think of that Barry Hall gut punch to Matt Maguire decision, let Barry play. Clearly a free kick. Like, we all knew that was a free kick. they brought in like experts saying, well, the distance between the ball that's behind the play, it's like, he still punched a dude in the guts who wasn't looking.
Totally punched a dude.
But Sydney go on to win the grand final. Like, I think, and I'm a Saints supporter saying that, let him play.
Oh, you got to let Koch play. I mean, it's one of those things where, but it would be so Richmondy and it was for not, their captain to not be able to play on grand final.
It would be Richmondy for him not to play based on that act, because clearly he was going for the ball. Like, did you see any of the commentary around it? Like, because the panel, which was Eddie, Dermy, Roosie, and John O'Brien, like, they came back and everyone but Dermy was like, clearly he's going for the ball. That's his intention. You know, you got to look past, intent's got to come into it. You got to look past the fact that he's concussed. Dermy's gone, look, you're taught two things. If you are going for the ball, you have your arms out for the ball. If you're going for the man, you tuck your elbow in and you put your shoulder down. He's gone, regardless of whether or not he meant to hit him in the head, his intention was to hit the man. That's why he's bracing. He doesn't have his arms out. And the whole panel went silent, because it's like, emotionally, we want him to play, but by the letter of the law, he could go.
Well, the good news is that Malcolm Turnbull is already preparing a statement to get him off, along with Waleed Ali. So... should be fine. Everything will be fine.
I mean, I feel like they'll let him go.
They've got it, right?
Like, whoa. I mean,
they've got it.
I mean, there's so many Richmondy things that can happen this week. We've got the Brownlow on Monday night, match review Monday afternoon.
What's the most Richmondy thing that happens at the Brownlow? Right, okay, so let's talk about what the most Richmondy thing that would happen with the Cochin thing is. He gets the week and he misses the grand final. Richmond go into the grand final without their captain. That's pretty Richmondy, right? On Brownlow night, what's the most Richmondy thing that can happen? They're going into Brownlow night. I mean, look at this season, Charlie. Look at this fucking season for this club. They're going into Brownlow night with the favourite for the Brownlow. They're going into the grand final. They weren't even in the eight, right? Amazing fucking season. What's the most Richmondy thing that happens?
That Dusty doesn't win.
Yeah, Tom Mitchell wins.
Yeah, and he doesn't win by a significant amount of votes, like 6 votes or something. Tom Mitchell polls 36, he polls 30.
There'll be
3 games where he was best on ground in every media award, and he only polled 1 vote in each of those games, or no votes.
How about this? Cochin gets a week and then wins the Brownlow.
Pretty Richmondy.
So Dustin gets beaten by the Brownlow by Cochin. So Cochin gets his second Brownlow.
Yeah,
but he can't play in the grand final. Pretty Richmondy.
I mean, the fact that your captain dual Brownlow medalist has got both his Brownlows in those circumstances would be, he would be the only dual Brownlow medalist to have like huge asterisks next to his. That's pretty Richmondy. That's amazing. Well done. I'll take that. Well, let's talk about the first game.
Yep. Okay.
Geelong Adelaide.
Yeah, I watched this. You watch this?
I watched this game. It was the Geelong of 2 weeks ago.
Well, it was one of those things where there was a couple of times during the game where you still felt like they might, like that second quarter when Dangerfield
went in the middle.
Yeah. When Dangerfield, where they put their one really, really good player near the ball.
Yeah.
That seemed to work out. Well,
talk about that decision.
Yeah.
I don't know if we speculated what he should do last week, but do you think they should have started him forward?
It's just so hard to tell. So, I mean, obviously in retrospect, it's very easy to say no, of course. But the problem is that the Geelong midfielders seem to step up when Dangerfield or Selwood aren't there, right? They tend to play at their best when they actually have to step up and fill that hole. So I think the theory behind it, and I think it was a bit of a double bluff as well, because I would have thought the commentary would have been like, he won't start down there because he started down there last week. And I think there was maybe, and they just don't have any forwards. That's the other thing about Geelong. Like, you look at Adelaide and that whole forward line is just unstoppable.
I didn't realize that Reece Stanley played his 100th game. I mean, he's been around forever. He was at St Kilda for like 6 years.
I mean, that is amazing to me. Just played 100.
He played his 100th against Adelaide. That seems way under, right?
It does, doesn't it? What's he been up to?
I think he's been injured a lot. He was injured a lot at St Kilda.
Right.
And I think, you know, he's got that Bruce Reid build, Australian fast bowler Bruce Reid. You know those tall, lanky guys? It's like, oh man, every time they land, you think they're going to snap?
Yeah, he certainly does have that, doesn't he? He's got a little bit of not quite fully formed giraffe about him.
He's the prototypical teaser. He's the guy you get at your club who's over 200 centimetres, has a blinder in like JLT or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like 4 goals.
No, against the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we tend to always run into like the day that guy gets his next big contract. That's the Bulldogs.
Yeah. Well, he did that on a few occasions because everyone, In 2010, when Revolt popped his hamstring, he came in and everyone was like, he's going to be the new Revolt. And then when that didn't happen, they're like, okay, well, he's going to be our roving ruckman. He's going to be our Todd Goldstein. And then that never quite happened. And he would have two games a year, which would make you think, oh, well, he's worth investing in. Tall guys take a little bit longer. And then I think after 6 years, we're like, Geelong? Right. You got a trade pick you want to spot for this guy?
It's that Geelong forward line. I mean, Hawkins didn't get near it.
Nah.
They've got a couple of little guys who can kind of kick a goal or two, but otherwise they've got nothing if Dangerfield's not down there. I mean, obviously you can see why they're going after Stringer and why they would benefit from having Ablett.
Yeah.
Because if you suddenly had Ablett and Stringer in that forward line...
Stringer would go in very well.
Yeah.
I still think you need like another tall, but Zach Clark's pretty good when he goes forward.
But also, I don't think you do need heaps of talls.
Not one. Like, Richmond prove you don't.
Right. And to be honest, to a certain extent, Adelaide prove you don't. Because even though they've got Tex up there and they've got Josh Jenkins doesn't really do a lot of tall stuff.
Like, just kicks it like four goals.
Right. That's what he does. But he just gets easy fucking balls and never gives a hand.
He's the Kurt Tippett of Adelaide, ironically.
What Josh Jenkins is the fucking exception that proves the rule. Because if there's one thing you'd say about the Adelaide forward line is they're unselfish.
Yeah.
And he's the one selfish guy. Like, he is hungry, like massively, massively hungry.
Yeah.
Like, he's
not
like,
giving off a handball does within not 30 give meters. Off,
doesn't look, throws the ball away from him so he couldn't possibly be tempted to give it to somebody else.
They look good, Adelaide. I mean, it was their night.
Showtime.
Charlie Cameron. Man. Fucking hell. Wow. Just decide. I mean, in both games, we saw two young players decide to announce themselves, Daniel Rioli and Charlie Cameron. Like, fucking exciting games from both of them, different reasons. But Charlie Cameron, that hanger he took, which is just like, oh, I can do all this shit on the deck. Now watch this.
I mean, and the gut running he was doing.
Yeah.
You could just see him. Like, he'd do these amazing things, and then he would just be there sucking it in because he just, like, runs so hard up and down the ground.
Can I just say, that hanger in the goal square, what I loved about the replay when they did the isolation camera replay...
Is that it hit him in the face?
No, it was the fact
that he kind of caught it with his head.
If you watch that, the way he sized up that pack before he went for it to go for the mark is the way that when you haven't kicked a kick in the park with your mates, you got
just
one
like
mate.
A meter and a half
totally. And just like he's sizing like he's catching a wave. He just waits, not really looking at the ball, just waiting for the pack to form, and then just picks the biggest guy, jumps on his back.
No, he was the arsehole like guy who's 2 years above you at high school who comes by and takes a specky of you in his jeans. That's what he did.
Just put down his beer, shirtless in his jeans.
It's weird that he's got a beer at high school, but that's the sort of guy he is. Yeah.
Nah, it was awesome.
And he was amazing. I mean, like...
All of their guns fired, too.
Well, to watch... You know what I love so much is like...
Well, hang on. Should we talk about this? If we talked about Trent Cotchin, what about Rory Sloane on Dangerfield?
Fine?
It
was fine. They just both went at the ball at the same time. And Danger...
It's tough.
Well, also, Danger, WWE's it a little bit.
Do you reckon?
Oh, mate, are you... Come on.
He's a cutter.
Come on. Do you reckon? Like, he almost did one of those James Brown, I can't get up.
I can't believe you're saying this.
It's true.
I would never go that territory.
He's a faker.
I could not even take, like, a hundredth of that impact and be okay.
No. Oh, he definitely... I mean, don't get me wrong. But him and Sloane hit each other at the same pace in pretty much the same way. One didn't get caught off balance or anything like that. Rory Sloane is not flattening Paddy Dangerfield. Paddy Dangerfield thought he'd get a free kick. So he got hit and he thought, well, I'll see if I can get a free kick. And then he thought, well, while I'm down here, might as well give it a bit of a...
It would be Richmondy if Trent Cotchin got suspended but Sloane got off.
I think Sloane will be fine. I can't imagine that he'll have a problem with that.
Yeah. So like, what are you going to
do? Well, the thing that I was going to say though about that incident was, I do think it was the defining moment of the game still, because I thought Geelong still had a chance of getting into it. Right.
Yeah. When Paddy decided to will them across the line.
Yeah. And I think for the rest of the night, you just saw him. He couldn't quite hit his kicks and those sort of things.
Well, he was getting caught a bit as well.
But that, you know, just that thing of like, I think it probably did hurt him a bit. I'm not pretending that he flopped or anything like that. He got fucking really, really hurt, but I think he probably stayed down a little as well.
What I loved about that game, if you're an Adelaide supporter especially, is even the guys who were periphery, like, did something that made you go, oh, cool. Like, I mean, the Crouchers, obviously, but Tex Walker just popping up in the last quarter and kicking two pretty incredible goals. Like, that one from the boundary line was just, like, so cool and calm.
Well, that's the thing about that forward line. it's just showtime for all of them.
Yeah.
They all just have a go and they all kick great goals and they all love it.
Yeah.
And Tex is just like, I mean, just even the way he leads that club when Selwood was trying to get into him and he was just like, he was being like aggressive enough, but not too
aggressive. Cameron and Tex have a weird high five, I noticed. Oh, the forearm. Did you say that? What is that? The forearm chop.
Yeah.
What is that? That's all of that.
I don't know, but I love it. And that flex. Did you see the flex?
I don't think I saw
it. You didn't see the flex? Oh,
what, did he tear his shirt Hulk Hogan style?
So he, it was after one of the many amazing things he did on the night. And like, so he's done his little, mid-arm high five and he's done all that and he's run back into the center. And then just when you think he's done and everything's cool, he just does this like flex of his whole body. And it was so fucking cool. Anyway, I'm going to pause and see if I can find it because you need to see it. Could not find it, Charlie. My optimism for the internet providing me the Charlie Cameron flex.
Did you literally just Google Charlie Cameron flex?
Several times. So the government's got a record of that now. So it was just amazing to see that number 23 for Adelaide.
Flashing across in the Adelaide finals. Oval.
Yeah, you know how there's been that big debate because Richmond are going to have to wear their away tops for the grand final because Adelaide finished higher. But Adelaide should just agree that they will wear their away tops and Richmond can wear their traditional strip. But in return, every player on the field gets to wear number 23 because they will all tie for the Norm Smith medal. Like, put that, it's like putting Superman's outfit on and going out.
23 is a good number, isn't it?
Oh.
Like Michael Jordan, Dermot Brereton, Stewie Lowe.
Buddy Franklin.
Buddy Franklin.
There's plenty of them.
Oh, sure.
Shane Warne.
Shane Warne was 23.
Shane Warne was 23.
That's a fucking secret.
Yeah. So there you go.
Oh, man. If only Nick Riewoldt had taken 23 instead of Cozzy.
Right. Not so famous number 23s. I mean, that forward line, to watch Cameron play. But you know what I loved as well was to watch the sheer delight that Eddie Betts clearly gets out of Cameron's success. Like sometimes in football teams, and I think that's the secret to that forward line, is they seem to get as much enjoyment out of the other people doing well as out of themselves, right? There'd be other teams where you might feel like there's a bit more competitiveness or whatever, but they're just so unselfish.
Yeah. And I think that's a Tex Walker thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that famous story about him when Phil Walsh called him into the office and said, you know, write down five choices to captain. And then Phil Walsh said, actually, you should be captain.
Yeah.
And he just didn't sort of feel he was up to it. I think that modesty.
Plus, he was already writing down his choices. And he'd been on the phone to Nathan Buckley. He said, I know you've always got the top five ready. What are the top five captains?
Players in Adelaide. But I think that humbleness and that kind of, he's got that everyman, he's got that John O'Brien quality.
Right.
You know what I mean? What a leader.
Yeah,
he had a beer with him, but also, you know, you're going to listen to him on the field.
Yeah, and when he has spoken this week.
I mean, anyone who can get away with that fucking moustache and haircut, like, has got to be a good bloke.
Well, and he's got a great sense of humour. Like, everybody likes him. You know, he's one of those really loved AFL players, but, and I think from other clubs as well. You know, he's got that ability
Don't they always vote him as, like, you know, captain?
Well, yeah, I think he was captain of the, the players voted him best captain in the AFL. So, yeah. And he barracked for Adelaide, apparently, when he was growing up. So, I mean, really exciting. Because that's the thing about Adelaide. Mm. If you're talking about stories, not only do they have all the behind-the-scenes stuff that we're aware of, but they haven't been in the grand final for 20 years. Like, it's been... these are the two teams...
Fuck, then I don't care.
These are the two... like, Charlie, these are the two teams that haven't been in the grand final for the longest.
Yeah, great. Awesome. I mean, they've been playing a lot of promos for that, you know, their 20-year since their first premiership.
Yep.
The 97 premiership, and I don't, like,
that's... You don't care.
I mean, well, you guys are watching that, and that's like, you know, if
we've healed now, though, Charlie.
Huh?
We've healed now. The Bulldogs have healed now. Sure. It's fine. Once you get a premiership, all your bad memories go away. I can barrack for Adelaide if I want to.
I mean, I'm happy for them,
but
I'll be going for Richmond.
I don't know who I'll be going for. In fact, it's one of those games where I think I'd be very happy with either result.
I'll be happy with either result, but I'm only going to be going for one team.
Because I think Adelaide, to me, like, if one of the teams is going to play really, really well, which of them would I like to see play really, really well? Probably the Adelaide forward line. Like, if on grand final day, if I was going to see, like, Cameron and Betts and Tex and, you know, all those guys sort of light it up on the MCG, I reckon that'd be pretty entertaining. Although, you know, I mean, you could say the same about, like, I mean, Rioli was amazing for Richmond.
Well, let's talk about that game properly, because we haven't, we've said enough about the first game. We'll get back to the grand final in a second.
But exactly.
Let's rake over the coals a bit more, because I'm interested to get your take on GWS. Because I raised with you last week, I mean, maybe, to me it felt like a kind of like a new thought, but maybe there's a discussion around this already, but seeing them bomb out of the second prelim in a row, I was again reminded by what happens if they don't make anything of this period. Like, what happens if they keep just bombing out? Like, what happens?
Well, Charlie, have you ever heard of Darwin's survival? No, I think this is great. I've thought about this a lot because I would hate if they'd won with their not best teaming. They haven't had a great season. They haven't had a premiership season. Mm. They're without their best, you know, kind of foot forward, you know, coming into this game. Like, in that game, they were without one of their best midfielders because, you know.
My neighbour.
Exactly, your neighbour. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, you're going to have to avoid eye contact with him over the summer.
It was funny. I was watching that game with Gemma last night, and I was pointing Dylan Scheel out, and I was like, oh, see, that guy, he lives down the road from us. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And then I went on into great detail to describe exactly where his apartment was and about what time in the morning I see him and stuff. And she was like, hang on, you have an uncomfortable amount of information about this guy.
You know what's interesting? He eats breakfast at 9:45 every day.
And you know what was interesting? He won't make eye contact with me.
Right. And you know what else is interesting? Like, every day, after exactly 5 minutes of me peering in the window, he always shuts the blinds.
You know what's interesting? He got really upset when he saw me walking down the street with a T-shirt I had made myself, which was a photo of me and him in a love heart.
Right, yeah. You know what's really interesting? Like, I've been collecting pieces of his skin. Would you mind if I pasted them on me right now and you just called me Dylan for a while?
I was genuinely upset when he got injured. I felt, you know, I felt like a pang of, I know that guy.
Right. You don't really.
No, not at all. I've walked past him a few times.
Right. Yeah. Buddy Franklin lives near me, but I don't know Buddy Franklin.
It was a big moment in that game, I reckon, because even in the 10 minutes before he went off, to see the way he lifted, like, that's a fucking champion.
Yeah.
Like, he was concussed, as we understand he is now, but the way he played in that 10 minutes, he was fucking on fire, and then to have to pull him off, so to speak.
Charlie's amused himself. Charlie's finally laughed on this podcast for the first time ever. Yeah, mate, they did that. They were like, look, to be honest, mate, you failed the concussion test, but on the upside, there is a happy ending. Literally, there's a happy ending. One of the guys is leaving. He said he's going to do it as long as you actually wear this yes badge. If you can wear this yes badge. In fact, it's an AFL initiative. You've heard they put up the yes sign this week. They'd like, they're offering every player, if they get injured, on the way out, a hand job. So all you have to do is say yes. Yes?
I felt like it was a closer game than the Geelong-Adelaide game for about a half.
Oh, GWS looked like there was a chance that GWS were going to do it for a while, and I think they actually squandered a bit some opportunities.
Oh, and bloody, and you know, buckets and bouquets. Bouquets will to the GWS cheer squad, who came down with their own brass section. That made a huge difference. You could hear them after every goal. You could hear that fucking brass section, because I was like, are they playing the Giants theme song after every goal? No. Those fans were small in number but loud in voice.
Right, yeah. And they had seats, empty seats next to them on the bus where they could keep instruments. So everything was fine.
It wasn't nearly as oddly quiet after their goals as I thought it was going to be.
Well, because they bought brass instruments for the games, Charlie. That's normally cheer squads don't need that.
But the Tigers are irrepressible. They just, that first 2 minutes, have you seen anything as exciting? Like, just, it was at a fever pitch. Like, as a neutral supporter, I was cheering in that first fucking 2 minutes.
Was it noisy at the game? Because I didn't notice in the commentary that they mentioned it or that it was noisy at the game.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lingy with his decibel reader.
Right, but also Lingy, who was making most of the noise. Like, I don't know.
Why was he yelling?
Did he have an earpiece or something? Because he must have just been drowned out by the noise himself and, like, felt like, it sounded like Lingy was reporting from Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, and that's like going up to someone at the gym who's wearing headphones and you ask them a question, and they yell back. Right.
It's like, hang on, Lingy, are you wearing your iPod? What's going on?
Yeah, it was funny. I did love, though, the way they paid a lot of attention to the Richmondiness of the night, like the fact that they were broadcasting from, like, within the stand and stuff. Like, you got some amazing, what do you call them? Looky-loos in the background with all the kind of panel stuff. Like,
do you call them looky-loos?
I don't know. What do you call the people in the background? Head wobblers.
Head wobblers.
Head wobblers.
Looky-loos doesn't feel right to me.
Trademark Charlie Clawson.
What's with all those looky-loos?
I think looky-loos is a thing.
I mean, but I don't think it's a
hashtag
footy thing.
Hashtag two guys, one cup if looky-loo is a thing.
Well, is it head wobblers or looky-loos? Are they the same thing?
No, head wobblers is a cocky person.
Right.
And noddies. Noddies. That's it. We got there. From looky-loos to wobblies to noddies. You had people in the back of shot, and at the end of the game, it was great. Like, to see some of those Richmond faithful, like one guy flicking his tongue out of the camera, and another dude flicking the bird and getting slapped on the head by his mum. Like, it was brilliant.
Did you see the Richo interview at the end of the game?
The one with Dusty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, Richo was like, okay, you're just going to talk to him for the rest of the night now?
Yeah.
You guys just going to meet back here next week and you'll still be having this conversation?
It was pretty funny. The chat with, Jack Revolt, I don't know if he was concussed, but he was not making sense. Did you notice that? Like, he kept sort of saying, sorry, it's just hard to concentrate. It's hard to think right now. Either he was so overcome with emotion or he'd got a head knock because he was not answering the questions that were being asked.
Well, I think part of it was just the noise. Like, everybody was still there just singing the song over and over and over again. And I think also, yes, I mean, Charlie, he plays for Richmond. Mm. He of all people.
Yeah. He was the other Revolt.
Yeah. He's never expected this to happen.
Yeah.
He's the one who knows up front. He's the guy who used to have to fucking, you know, jump over the fence and run away from reporters because that's what Richmond was about, right? And then suddenly they're in the grand final. Like, I mean,
And
it would be overwhelming.
I felt like it was a similar game in the sense that all those Richmond players bobbed up and did something. And I felt like Jack bobbed up in the same way Tex bobbed up. In the last quarter, kicked a goal, but was always presenting, crashing packs, directing traffic. It was a good sort of game across the board and very similar to the Adelaide game.
And how about Dimmer? Like this time, well, this time last year.
He's going to get sacked.
He was going to get sacked, but he went on the couch. Remember he went on the couch and he was like, no, we'll be right next year. We'll be fine. This is the best group that I've ever coached and blah, 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 blah. And everyone's like, well, hey, is Dimmer concussed? Dimmer's off his head, but he's right.
Did you see someone posted on Twitter? I'm going to see if I can find it.
Right.
It's the parallels between Richmond in 2017 and Geelong of 2007. Did you see that?
Is it the Bomber Thompson? Because I know that he was going to get sacked and then they stuck with him.
But it's also like winning the VFL. It's also like who their rising star was. It's literally, hang on.
Well, that's the thing. But the Bulldogs won the VFL last year. And, you know, it shows, I think, how good it is to have your VFL team playing at least to that point in the year. Because if somebody does get injured or someone gets suspended, you've got a whole group of players who've been playing at a really high level.
So I found an article. This is was on the Herald Sun, posted on the 18th of September.
Who wrote it?
Doesn't say.
Okay, staff writers.
AFL News, staff writer. Headline, Richmond's 2017 season is incredibly similar to Geelong's dominant 2007. The similarities are striking. Is this the biggest sign that the Tigers are set for premiership success? By the way, I love that this is our podcast this week. Like, if Richmond fans aren't feeling it enough, I'm about to read an article about how their season parallels Geelong's
destiny.
Drought-breaking season.
Destiny. It's destiny. That should be the banner, by the way. Yeah.
Move over Danny McGinn Lane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the Herald Sun headline on Tuesday. Destiny. That's fine. I'm happy with that. You can do that.
Take a snapshot of Richmond's journey to the 2017. I don't know why I just misread that. To the 2017 preliminary final, and it matches up identically with Geelong's path through 2007.
Okay.
As we all know how that ended for the Cats. The parallels begin in 2005 and 2015 with both sides suffering tough September defeats.
By the way, I love how they go, and we all know how that ended with the Cats, which is really like, well, that's actually not the point of journalism, guys. You meant to actually tell people in case they did not know. Maybe they're reading this article in case they might be going, oh, did the Cats lose to Adelaide in the grand final?
The parallels begin in 2005 and 2015. A pair of shock finals misses the following year led to an internal turmoil, lengthy reviews, which had Mark Thompson and Damien Hardwick in the hot seat. I remember that.
Yep.
They were going to sack Bomber.
They were both hosting Millionaire Hot Seat.
However, both would go on to survive, and then the wheel turned. What followed for both clubs was the key appointment of Neil Baum. VFL Liston Trophy wins and AFL MVP victories. Dusty Martin and Gary Ablett, I would assume.
Yeah.
But wait, the similarities don't stop
there. Hang on, wait. Woo! Already that's a lot. I forgot the Barmy influence.
If Dustin Martin, currently the $1.10 favourite with TAB, can win the Brownlow medal, he will match the exploits of Jimmy Bartel.
Oh, that was Bartel's year, okay.
If the Tigers can win the VFL flag, having qualified for the big dance on Saturday, that will match the Cats' VFL success of 2007. No pressure, Magoos. Then the only thing left to tick off is a premiership win. Okay, so I'll go through that again. So this is Geelong. I'll read first and then Richmond. So
okay.
Geelong 2005 finals loss. Richmond 2015 finals loss.
Okay.
2006 miss finals. 2016 okay. miss finals.
Okay, good.
2006 internal review. Internal review.
Yeah.
Thompson survives in 2006. 2016 Hardwick survives.
Okay.
2007 Baum recruited. 2017 Baum recruited. 2007 Liston Trophy winner would be James Byrne. 2017 Liston Trophy winner for Richmond was Jacob Townsend. 2007 MVP Ablett. 2017 MVP Dustin Martin. 2007 Coaches Association MVP Ablett. 2017 Coaches Association Martin. 2007 Brownlow Medal Bartel. 2017, well, we assume will be Dustin Martin.
Or Cotchin. This comes back to my thing because Ablett won all the other awards. But obviously, Bartel won the Brownlow.
Yeah, right.
This could be your Dustin wins all the other awards.
So they could still.
But Cotchin wins the. Oh.
So that could happen and they could still win the Premiership. That would actually be more of.
Well, this is not an original story at all. This is just a gritty reboot. They've rebooted Geelong's season. This is blatant plagiarism.
So, geez, Neil Baum.
Yeah.
I mean, is that just right place, right time?
Couldn't help Collingwood, though.
No. So. And Chris Pelching was also widely, you know, believed to be the guy that helped, you know, Hawthorn put together their list. But we had him for a few years and then sacked him.
I mean, they've done such a great job. Now that they're in the grand final, regardless of what happens, like the way that Richmond rebuilt that club from, like, the mess that it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really did do.
I mean, it was only 2 years ago they drafted Chris Yaron.
Right. Oh, I mean, that was a club, and they'd put their sort of, you know, Babe Ruth style pointed at the, you know, they came up with a list of, we're going to, you know, get our membership to this, we're going to, like, get to this many finals, we're going to do all these things. And, you know, they hadn't done all those things, but they'd really kind of had a direction, and this is a massive payoff for all the people who rebuilt that club.
Yeah, definitely. That's hard, right? Like, I mean, I'm going to barrack for Richmond just because I'm a Victorian.
Well, you know, there was, like, the Herald Sun will be barracking for Richmond because I just saw there was 18 pages of coverage of Richmond in the Herald Sun today.
I don't know their market.
Yeah.
Well, I think also that watching the game, Gemma, who, you know, she's a passing football fan. In fact, not even passing. She follows football because her husband follows football. She made a specific request to watch the Richmond game.
Yep.
And then cried when they got in.
Is it the Alex Rance factor?
She actually likes Richmond. She's confessed to me that although she supported me as a St Kilda supporter, the whole time she's harbored things
for
Richmond.
She's been a secret Richmond fan.
She's been a secret Richmond fan, yeah. Because we had this whole discussion. I mean,
finding out that your wife is a secret Richmond fan is one of the most Richmondy things I've ever heard. Particularly,
if they beat the Saints in the grand final?
No. Well, anyway, Charlie.
Yeah.
If Gemma has told you that she is secretly a Richmond fan, have you actually considered the ramifications of that statement? Because you've just said to me that you're going to barrack for Richmond on the weekend. But how will you feel if your wife, who is only really a fan of AFL because of you, gets a premiership for her team before you do?
Mate, then fucking...
It'll be me, it'll be Gemma.
Yeah, join the club.
Mate, Amy will start following football next year and her team will win before your team.
I'll pick GWS. Mike Howell will probably get a fucking flag for me. Will, it's okay. I'm used to this. I think it's beautiful she's found her own team and I approve of this team. If this was my daughter dating someone, I think he's good. I like it. I approve of this relationship.
Okay, but what if you then have kids and she's fan and you're a St Kilda fan?
Well,
what
this whole
then?
Discussion was predicated on my sister, who's a Saints fan, and her husband is a Richmond fan.
Oh,
he's been very supportive of her through the whole 2009-2010 period, but now she's been supportive of him. But they have a daughter.
That's what a marriage is, mate.
They have a daughter, and they were like, well, look, let's not influence her either way.
Right.
She can pick whether she's going to be Tigers or Saints, and we're not
Did they just give her those two choices, or did they give her independent free thought? Could she have picked another team?
They didn't shut the AFL off to her, but she knew that Mummy's a Saints fan and Daddy's a Tigers fan.
Okay.
And that's why she picked Geelong. they're really good about it. Like, my brother-in-law sent me a photo of them in the first elimination final where he took her in a Geelong gear and he's in his Tigers gear. But it's got to hurt. And then that's what Gemma was asking me. It's like, well, you know, if we have a kid and that I'm back for the Saints, you know, will you be okay with that? And I was like, absolutely not. I will reject that child. We'll put him up for adoption. I just don't think I can handle it because undoubtedly what would happen is I would have a kid, he or she would pick the team, and then I'd watch my son or daughter see their team win a premiership before my team ever does.
Yeah. So really, you should be barracking for Adelaide on the weekend. Though.
Yeah.
So Gemma finally gets you. Finally understands your pain.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Get her really, really into it and then have a...
Oh, man, that's actually a good point. If Adelaide do win, then I think she's going to experience some fucking pain.
It was interesting when my brother barracks for Essendon, because we all barrack for different teams in our family, and my brother barracks for Essendon, and his kids barrack for Essendon. And when they were getting belted by Sydney, he sent me a picture of my nephew, and he was crying, like really, really upset. And he's like, send me this picture of like, you know, the Bombers 50 points down. And this kid is like crying, and I'm like, is that healthy? Are you meant to get that upset about... I don't know. Is that cute or is that like...
I think that's adorable.
Traumatic.
No, I think that's adorable. I think that teaches your kids that there's certain times and place where you can just be completely illogical.
Right. And also that things don't always go your way, unfortunately.
Yeah, do you think... But okay, but things never go my way. Things never used to go your way and suddenly they did.
Yeah, I loved it. But it's gone away again. So anyway...
Well, that's actually the lesson I've learnt from you this year. Who was I talking to? Oh, I bumped into some guys who are fans of the podcast... And they were asking about you and if I had seen any perceptible change. And I said, yes, but I've also seen, I think, a hitherto unanticipated amount of angst because suddenly you had something to fight for.
Right.
Whereas I'm very comfortable in my swamp. I know my swamp. I know that it's sucking the life out of me, but it's familiar.
Right.
You, on the other hand, crawled out of the swamp, stood at the top of the summit, and have come tumbling back down to the swamp. Now, you wouldn't have a problem with dying poor if you hadn't seen such riches.
Well, that's the problem, right? It ruins you.
Yeah.
I've flown business class now, and I don't want to go back to economy.
Welcome back, buddy. We've missed you. Welcome back. I mean, holy shit. I don't really have that many friends, apart from my Saints fans friends. I don't have anyone else that I can commiserate with.
Right.
Who am I going to commiserate with?
I mean, Richmond fans after they lose on the weekend. I mean, that's the most... Well, this is what we've got to consider, Charlie.
I can't even imagine it.
It's the most likely scenario. Adelaide are the best team in the competition. They've never lost a grand final.
I like this. This
never lost a grand final, Adelaide. So they have 100% success rate. If you want to talk about omens, the Western Bulldogs, the Bulldogs team won the women's competition. Remember they had that exhibition thing and the Bulldogs won it? Guess who won the AFLW competition in its inaugural year?
Bulldogs.
The Adelaide Crows. And so if you want to talk about omens in a season, the Adelaide women's team won. Adelaide have never lost a grand final. Adelaide finished top of the ladder and have the best team in the competition. They are the most likely team to win the grand final.
Well, I think
so come Sunday,
yeah.
Despite the amazing story and despite everything else, chances are that Adelaide will beat Richmond.
I like this. You are the dude who... In the Conor McGregor fight was like, look, I know everyone's excited about
it. Yeah, it's great that he's doing it, guys,
but
you know he's fighting a guy who does this for a living, right?
He's never lost.
He's the best at it for a living.
Yeah. No, I see that, but I just something about the emotion of it. I think, look, Adelaide have got huge fan base and they're all going to come over. I've firsthand witnessed what it's like to be at a grand final. When Adelaide fans are run riot and they're loud.
This is the AFL's ideal scenario. Mm. You're going to have 35,000 fans from each of the clubs. Like, so it's going to be split. And it's unfortunate that, like, you know, the rest of them go to corporates, but you know, there's going to be plenty of like supporters on both teams and whatever. It's going to be the Adelaide fans are amazing. They're going to go to all the functions, everything. The grand final parade is going to be amazing because it won't just be all Richmond fans, although there'll be heaps of them, but like there will be heaps of Adelaide fans as well. Like it's really exciting. Like, I mean, it couldn't really go better if you're the AFL, you're like just going, well, this is pretty much our ideal result.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be amazing if you could get a ticket, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, even if you could, you wouldn't take one, you know, in front of a real fan, Charlie, is what I would say publicly.
I agree, but if someone has a spare ticket for the grand final, you got to take it.
Right.
Like, I mean, the thing is people don't offer you a ticket to say, give this to the most worthy amongst you. It's like, hey, you're a friend of mine or someone that I know. I would like to give you this as a present. Now you can go that extra yard.
Right.
But the fact is you might be disrespecting the person who got you the ticket.
Well,
I say this as a person who's accepted grand final tickets a lot.
Right. Here's the thing. Like, say for example, that you got a new job, Charlie, and the people, you know, who had given you that job, in the tradition of people going to work for an organization, often if they're excited about you coming there, they might like send you a bottle of wine or a bunch of flowers or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, say the people that you were going to work for, their business was football. And part of, you know, what their business was that they had access to these, you know, grand final tickets, and they wanted to give you one of them to go to the grand final as a present. Wouldn't be disrespecting them if you did not take that present.
What we're trying to say is I am now working for the AFL.
Yeah. So Charlie's working for the AFL. He's 2IC. He's the new Simon Lethley. They loved our idea about the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
They've got Charlie involved. He's going to implement that. That's his first thing.
Yeah, saying hello to the new coach of the Gold Coast Suns. And I'm doing it for a grand final ticket. That's all they had to offer me. Crazy Tony Cochran gave me that and a bag of beans. I was like, yoink.
Yeah, there has been there's certainly been a part of me that has felt a little guilty about the fact that I will probably get to go to this grand final on the weekend and people will miss out. But I also just, on a very selfish level, it's like...
my God, I would love to go to this
grand final. Don't want to miss it, do you?
No way.
Like, if you have the opportunity to go and see this game, I think it's going to be... It has potential to be one of the all-time great grand finals.
And I also would say that... We have a football podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Like, you know, we talk about the show. Least, we promote it.
Yeah, like, at least I'm not some arsehole who does not like footy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm saying, here's what I'm going to say. You are well within your rights to go, why does that arsehole get to go?
Yeah.
But all I would say is, get mad at a whole bunch of other arseholes who get to go before me.
Yes.
I understand that I can be on that list, but at least I like footy.
Get mad at the cast of The Bachelor or something.
Yeah.
You're going to be there this year, and they're from Queensland and New South Wales, and they don't care.
Get mad at the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go head to head with the fucking Prime Minister on footy fucking trivia about who of us knows better.
In other news today, comedian Will Anderson was ejected from the MCG.
Was arrested again.
Again. Can't blame it on your back this time, Anderson.
Damn you. I could go either way on who I'd like to win. Like, I mean, I really, as a Victorian and like as someone who experienced it, and I think it'd just be so great for the game if Richmond, you know, do it. But also, you know, Justin, my friend Justin Hamilton is that... dyed-in-the-wool Adelaide fan.
I have a lot of Adelaide friend fans. But...
And the thing that I can honestly say to you is I just don't hate this Adelaide team.
No.
Like, in the past, I just don't think there'd ever been an Adelaide team that I just always hated them. There was just something about those Adelaide teams that I really... But I like this team.
Yeah.
I like the way they play footy. I like the personalities of the players they have. Man, like, the Rub on Friday night had Rory Sloane's wife, I think, on the show. I liked her. Like, I'm like, oh, she's delightful. Like, I'm liking everybody involved in this.
Well, let's talk potential matchups because there's going to be some fucking awesome ones. So let's talk first, Alex Rance on Tex Walker. I mean, that's the obvious one, or does he go to Jenkins?
I mean, well, no, he doesn't go to Jenkins. Well,
he needs to go to the one that's where he's going to be most mobile, or at least to able to run off.
The interesting thing about Jenkins, if he went to Jenkins, would be that idea that they just would never go near each other. But I actually think that that plays...
Or does Grimes go to Jenkins?
Yeah, I think that plays into Jenkins' hands, because Jenkins loves getting it by himself, right? So I think you've got to send him to Tex. Tex is their leader.
Yeah.
And
Alex is the All-Australian captain.
Right. And it's one of those things where...
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, the battle of the captains.
Isn't it?
The All-Australian selectors like captains versus...
The Players Association captain.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't even think of that.
Okay. Yeah. And they're both handsome.
Yeah.
That's a real handsome.
And they're both kind of swashbuckling.
Yeah.
It's like seeing Errol Flynn take on, I don't know, some other like 1920s movie star.
Well, you know what it feels like. It feels like
Clark Gable's getting to a punch up with Gregory Peck.
It feels like, to me, the sword fighting scene from The Princess Bride. Do you know what I mean?
Thank God you said The Princess Bride.
You know, like,
right, yes,
it does feel like it's one of those things where it's just like two guys who are experts at being suave and swashbuckling.
Yeah.
And that at one stage, like Tex or Alex Rance will turn to the other and go, and I am not left footed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and it's also because the mustache, that's mainly, let's be honest,
it's mainly the mustache.
Alex Rance would look amazing. Alex Rance got a little, like, Clark Gable pencil thin mustache.
Yes.
And then put a black mask on, he'd look like Zorro.
Yeah. Oh.
You think?
Totally, you would look like Zorro. There's your Mad Monday costume, Rancy.
Now, that's a very enticing... I mean, it's hard to know how you'd split that. I feel like that's the kind of game, matchup where Rance could dominate And then Tex only needs like 5 minutes, a five-minute purple patch where he like goal assists or kicks a goal himself.
Well, it's one of those ones where you could see it being like a contest where both of them, you know, had moments where they were on top of it. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. Who goes to Betts? Who goes to Cameron?
Well, that's where it gets interesting, right? Because
Ellis to Betts, I reckon.
I mean, I guess so. Does Hooley play on one of those guys? Well,
Hooley could probably keep up with Cameron because he's pretty quick.
I don't know if any of them can keep up with Cameron. Like, they're fast on the forward line, Richmond, but are they fast enough down back?
Well, the thing is, the way Richmond play is they will go man on man, obviously, but it's all about team defence. So whoever mans up.
But Adelaide are going to go man oh man. And they just push them in pulls.
Take them across to Olympic Park and just.
Guys, we've got a new tactic.
Yeah.
You know about man on man. This is man oh man.
The second quarter. Instead of playing another quarter of football, we're just going to do a talent show. So if you've got a pre-prepared talent, just come out and do that. Third quarter is going to be karaoke.
I mean, this is outrageous. Adelaide have decided to go man, oh man. Richmond would not have been expecting this. They have not prepared any talents for the talent quest.
I think Richmond will overcome that with just getting numbers around the ball. That's how they do their team defense. So yep. I think Betts will need a matchup, and I think Ellis makes the most sense because same size, quick. But although he seemed hurt at the end of the game.
The thing about Richmond is, like, that you're right, that their pressure is insane, and it is that real sort of team pressure.
Mm.
So it's going to be, I think it's probably going to be less about, because they've got so many people you could man up on, right?
Yeah.
You could go to Cameron, you could go to Betts, could go to Jenkins, you could go to Walker, like, and that's without looking at their midfield. You know, do you send someone to Sloan or do you send someone to one of the Crouch brothers or any of those sort of things, right? So you've got to rely on your team defense probably.
Yeah.
I think Richmond are probably not going to necessarily send anyone to anyone in particular, like other than probably who they decide to play Rance on. And then otherwise it's they've just got to rely on them all doing it together.
I just had a strange, like, not a premonition, but there were actually moments in the game last night that were very Richmondy in and of themselves. Especially when the game was sort of up for grabs.
There was a moment in the balance, and certainly even in
But do you remember like little incidents? Yeah. Like there was one where Trent Cotchin won a free kick. He went to chip it sideways, had the ball like smothered off his boot. There's another Trent Cotchin moment where he grabbed the ball out of the pack, snapped it from nowhere, and it literally, like, it bounced, almost looked like it was going to bounce in the goals and then bounce at right angles, kind of like the 2010 grand final.
And there was that other Trent Cotchin moment where he did that thing that any other week of the year would get him suspended.
But there was moments in that game where I was like, oh, if they lose this, this is the first, this is, the rot started here.
Yeah.
You can totally see that happening at the big dance, can't you? Like just a brain fade moment. They got away with it because it was GWS, but a brain fade moment against the competition's best team where you chip it sideways and have it smothered off your boot, or, you know, you just fucking kick and pray and it bounces the wrong way and you get hurt on the rebound, suddenly pressure's on. Like Richmond were feeling pressure last night, no doubt, in the second quarter.
But they did well to overcome it. And the other thing is
Go on.
The other thing is that Martin, in those moments, this is the thing.
I was just going to
that's
say that.
What they've got.
And I actually just hopped up and down for a second there because I got so excited thinking about Dustin Martin. I can't believe we haven't mentioned him till now. But was that not the most fucking exciting, like, 10 to 15 minutes of play?
Mate, I get excited when I see the little Dustin Martin kid on the NAB Mini Legends at. Like, he is quickly becoming one of my absolute favorite players, not just on the field, but I'm really warming to Dustin Martin, the
big softy off the
field. The big softy. Like, I heard him give a shout out to his dad and tell his dad that he loved him on three separate occasions last night. I saw it on the telly. I heard it twice on the radio. And each time I was like, yeah, he loves his dad.
Mate, if Dusty's dad was my dad, I'd be telling him I loved him all the time as well.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm seeing it in a new light now. He did actually seem to repeat it a lot and really immediately.
No, I agree. Like, I think there's everything about this year, and it's also the storyline behind where Dusty's come from, the fact that they sort of had to mentor him through this, the fact that he and Koch are really good mates and that Koch sort of steers him straight.
Mate, aren't they, by the way, the
original
odd couple?
Odd couple?
No, I love that. Should be. You know, they do. You know, they do behind the scenes sort of, like for the club websites and stuff.
Yeah,
you
want to see that house.
They'll do the little cooking segment or whatever. They should do a little sitcom where it's, you know.
Well, speaking of like living arrangements, Daniel Rioli lives with Damien Hardwick.
Yeah.
I mean, no wonder he's playing so well. That guy hasn't had a drink in fucking like a year.
Well, the other thing is there was a little period of time where he wasn't playing that well. And I was like,
how's that go? How's breakfast go down then?
Yeah. And also, like, how do you, if you were going to drop the guy you live with, like, I mean, it is an interesting relationship, isn't it?
Can we, if we took a time, we took the time to talk about Charlie Cameron, let's fucking take a second to just marvel about Daniel Rioli. I was not convinced about him, but Jesus Christ, he's not the first player you go for. He's the player you get once you've got a pretty solid team under you. And my God, like, was he exciting last night.
That's what you get a Rioli for.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's their stock and trade.
It's your icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You know, it's your, he doesn't need a lot
they are the red dust you get in a bag of barbecue shapes.
Right. Yeah. They're actually the most delicious bit.
Yeah.
But if you just got an entire bag of the red dust, you'd be no good.
Yeah.
You'd die pretty quick. It wouldn't function properly. Right. But they are the extra bit of flavor on top. You know,
you're dying of sodium poisoning.
Right. Yeah. You've been over Rioli'd, mate. Sorry about that. But they are. That's what you need. Yeah. You need a Rioli. Never has there been a...
That's a t-shirt. You need a Rioli.
Never has there been a family where I would change... If I wanted to get drafted, I would change my name to Rioli.
Will Rioli?
But no, they'd just be like, there's this guy down from Denison.
Charlie Rioli sounds great.
Yeah.
That rolls off. I should be a Rioli.
Mate, I reckon 43 years old with two fucking osteoarthritis hips and a broken disc in my back that has not allowed me to sit down without an injection for the last 3 months. If I change my name to Rioli Rioli, I'd get drafted.
Rioli, Rioli, yo.
My name's
like to get to know ya, know ya.
My name's Rioli, Rioli. If I had a kid, that's what I'd call it. His name's Rioli, Rioli. He hasn't taken my last name or Amy's last name. We're calling him Rioli, Rioli. We have one dream for him, to be the best 12 possession player in the league.
And that's just it, man. Like, it's just the little deft touches left and right, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what it is. They're those players that make the most of the possessions that they have.
I mean, imagine. They get the fucking MVP, they get the Brownlow medalist, they get goal of the year, and they don't get a flag.
I mean, it's one of those things where, again, without wanting to belabor this point, but in a week where the AFL, you know, got some plaudits and also probably got some people not liking it about that, taking a public stance on marriage equality. And by the way, I will say for the record, they didn't fucking say that everybody has to vote yes. They didn't say that. They just said they as an organisation support equality, which I think is a very reasonable and fine thing for the AFL to say. And supporters, I liked it. You know, a lot of people didn't, but I liked it. Another thing that obviously has been a challenge in our game has been our relationship with our Indigenous players. You know, I was explaining to Amy, we were watching, you know, some of the game while I was watching, and occasionally for about 90 seconds, she will ask me a question about football. And I know she's not interested, but I know that I've got 90 seconds where I can try to jam something into that conversation.
You've got like 20 prepared talking points, right, that you've memorized.
Because I want to get something in that might hook her into wanting to know more. Because I know this is how the conversation always goes. She'll ask me something. I'll do my best to hook it in with something. And eventually she goes, I didn't want to know that much, right? So that's the pattern. But... So the other night, Ramona, our dog, had scratched her eye, and so she needed to put something on her eye. So there'd been a frozen banana in the fridge, and so she just had the frozen banana on her eye. And Eddie Betts came on the screen, and she was talking about how handsome she actually thought Eddie Betts was, and I'm like, she's got a banana on her eye. I'm going to be able to explain about that incident.
It's horrible.
No, but I think it'd be like an interesting kind of, I was like,
got a banana, he had a banana thrown at him.
Right. But also he just kicked a brilliant goal and I was going to be able to explain
it. It was a banana goal.
Well, he was a banana kick. You know, anyway, it was very thematic.
Here's a banana bread.
Right. Gwen Stefani was there just for some reason saying this shit is bananas. And I was like, okay, well, this is too far, Gwen. Sometimes we get it wrong. You know, sometimes we get it wrong in our game, but so often we get it right. And when you look at the delight and enjoyment and whatever that our Indigenous players gave us over this weekend at football and the unique skill that they bring to the game that makes it so amazing, I just think it's great that it gets celebrated in such a huge audience in an amazing fashion.
Yeah, and it was like two young guys from two different teams just fucking torched it on the weekend and got me so excited.
Up.
I mean, it's similar in a way to when Jeddah took on Rioli in the 2012 Grand Final.
Right.
Like, that's still one of the greatest AFL highlights where no football actually took place.
Right.
It was just a running race.
And it was brilliant.
I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if somehow they ended up on each other for a period of time, like on a wing or something? That would be pretty exciting.
I mean, yes, it'd be amazing. Like, I mean, there's so much in this game. I mean, you know,
well, let's keep going with the matchups. Okay,
well, the battle of the midfields is going to be interesting, right? Because, I mean, obviously, when it comes to Richmond, you've got Cochin, possibly, playing. You've got Martin, who's the most dynamic player, obviously, either in the midfield or forward.
Prestia and Caddy, not bad little B-roll
Both of them, players. Yeah. Like, both of them, yeah.
If you've got a Cochin and a... And by the way, we joke about Cochin, but he was pretty incredible last night.
He was best. Oh, he was the best player on the ground.
Easily.
I thought.
Yeah. And where does this aggro come from?
Well, this is the new... Well... Da, 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 da.
All right.
A little bit of them's rubbed off on each other. Right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Dusty's a little bit more
Dusty's
cocky.
Like, this is how you break a dude's leg?
And in fact, to be honest, like, Cochin is the one who, like, jumper punched someone earlier in the season and got the rule. Oh, that would be Richmondy too, by the way, if Cochin wins the Brownlow and should have been suspended for that jumper punch. That's pretty Richmondy. He's the guy who's come out this season a little bit aggressive. And Dusty's come back with this very mild-mannered, polished reputation.
Yeah.
Charlie, am I smelling a face swap? Is there any chance...
On the off-season.
That they've John
off-season.
Travolta and Nicolas Caged it,
so when,
and they've come back with each other's personality.
So when Dimmer was under review, and the board said to him...
Do you have any
What
ideas?
Are you going to do differently next year? He's gone, have you seen a film called Face Off? Because I reckon we get Stephen Dank in here... Under the cover of darkness, he'll know some surgeons. He'll be probably willing to do it. We swap their faces. What about the tattoos? Lasers. We burn them off with lasers. We tattoo up Koch. That would be very Richmondy as well. If Dustin Martin was a Brownlow, but it's actually Trent Cochin, but he can't tell anyone.
That would be so good. Because the thing that I love about that is, like, you know, they always have to do a presentation. It'd just be great if Dimmer sat everybody down, everyone else is doing their presentation, and just, and the credits for Face Off. Just, guys, I've got an idea. And a scientist. The Crouches. We should talk about the Crouch brothers, because they are... not in Adelaide, obviously.
When you have a premiership team, this is what happens, is you have five superstars, and then everyone forgets about the fact that you have all these other guys who are also superstars, like the Geelongs of the 2000s.
Yeah, they are amazing.
Ball accumulators.
Right. They just keep getting it, don't they? And then Rory Sloane, you know, turns out that, you know, he had a couple of bad weeks in the middle of the season, but he's still really, really good.
Well, that's the question. Do they tag him?
Well, I think if you're going to tag anyone, you tag Sloane. Because Sloane has shown that he is susceptible to attack.
Yeah.
So I think...
Yeah, okay.
Well, don't you think?
Yeah, no.
I think that's
it's
a bit...
like bombastic description, but...
That he is susceptible to attack.
Susceptible?
Susceptible.
Is Clive Huxtable? No, not Clive Huxtable.
No! Cliff, I think he was anyway, so it's fine.
Okay.
Clive Huxtable. His brother, who was not a pedophile.
He's just a rapist.
I don't think we can defame Bill Cosby. I think we'll be fine. Imagine if our football podcast, I mean, it'd be great just for the court notes. It'd be like.
Did you read that last part back?
Yeah, is it,
susceptible Bill Huxtable? Bill Huxtable. Sorry, Cliff. Clive! Damn it. I think that you have to tag him, but the problem is with Richmond is that they feel like if you had to base the teams on talent alone, they drop off.
Yeah. Adelaide are the more talented team. That contains the more talented players, no doubt.
Yeah.
Richmond's best bet is that they're the best team, that they manage to play a style and level and intensity
and emotion,
of football.
In the same way that you guys are riding that emotional wave.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what we've got here. You've got the best team, the most talent, the team that has the most talented players in the competition up against the team that has bonded together and is riding a streak and an emotion and a feeling and a whatever.
Yeah.
What a great game.
I think Dermy made the observation last night that the way that Richmond are treating this and the grand final week is the same way the Bulldogs did last year, which is like, let's not hide away from it. Let's enjoy it.
Well, that's the thing about what happened this weekend is they had the lid off, and they had the lid off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they managed to back it up. It's got to give you hope if you're a Richmond fan. Like, if you're a Richmond fan...
It's going to give you delicious, tantalizing hope, right? Delicious, tantalizing hope on a tower built of crystal that with the slightest nudge.
All I'm saying is, if you're a Richmond fan, And this is, I mean, I'm not trying to like mosh you or anything. All I'm just saying is, if you are a Richmond fan, you might be about to experience the most perfect week of your entire life. On Monday night, Dustin Martin will probably win the Brownlow medal. And then on the weekend, you might see your team win the AFL Premiership. And it means that one of those players will probably also win the Norm Smith medal. You've had a season where you've won everything. Rioli might win the goal of the year. You'll win the whole thing. This may well be, to Richmond fans, the greatest week of your entire existence. So suck it all up and enjoy every moment. And I'm sure nothing could possibly go wrong.
We should check, because that article I read was from a few days ago. Did they play the VFL grand final this weekend?
I can Google it. I can Google it right now.
Because that could be a portent in the future.
This would be a tough time to find out.
they lost.
VFL grand final live coverage. Okay, yep, okay. So...
Is it on right now?
The VFL grand final live coverage. It is, in fact, on... right now, Charlie.
Oh,
so they are actually playing that grand final right now. I can give you an up-to-date, at the moment of us recording this podcast, score from that game, I believe, in a second. So let's fill in. So, okay, well, who's your pick for the weekend? Who do you think will win the Norm Smith medal? Who do you think will win the Brownlow? You know, all the big predictions for the week. Who do you think will win all those things?
I'm going to say Adelaide. I'm going to say, it feels like it has to be. I think I'm going to say Rory Sloane, Norm Smith.
Okay, yep.
What else have to pick? Brownlow?
Brownlow. Who do you think will win the Brownlow? Dustin Martin will win the Brownlow.
Yep.
All right, here's the
By the way, I want Richmond to win, but you've talked me around in the length of this podcast.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I really think this is one of those games where they'll probably go in a bit 50-50. Mm. I don't know how you pick a winner in this game. I would be very, very happy to see either of these teams win, and I think they'd be great stories for the game of AFL either way. I reckon Adelaide will win too. I just think they've been the best team all year, and they're the most likely team to win, and it would just be I don't know if a fairy tale story can win every year, and I do, and I just mean this in the nicest possible way, think there is one more Richmondy story up our sleeves for this season, but I think Dustin Martin will probably win the Brownlow. I think that will probably happen. Well, if Adelaide win, you've said Sloane, so I'm going to say if Adelaide win, I reckon they're not going to be able to find anyone. They'll try to go to Cameron. Eddie Betts will carve them up, and Eddie Betts will win the Norm Smith medal. It'll kick
Steve Johnson style.
Yeah.
Well,
if
you follow the 2007 modelled, CVJ won the Norm Smith, I imagine, right? And so a flashy forward will win.
Yeah. So there you go. But Richmond won't win. So can Richmond get grand final week off to a perfect start by securing the VFL grand final? We're only 5 minutes into the game, so basically there's no scores yet.
No. God. So, well, exciting for us, not exciting for people listening to this when the results will be in.
Well, I mean, we didn't really give them much of an update on the scores regardless, Charlie. So, spoilers, we don't know what the score is yet.
We should promote our, after the grand final, next week.
The day after the grand final.
The day after the grand final, we're doing a big show at the European Beer Cafe in Melbourne, 4 p.m. with Michael Chamberlain and Adam Rosenbach from Junktime AFL. Actually their show, really.
It is their show.
We're piggybacking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what it is? If we were a merger, we wouldn't have got to keep our club colours.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. They would have incorporated us in, but after a few years, people would have forgotten that our podcast exists. And there'd only be a couple of diehard two guys.
They're just going to cherry pick our podcast for the best jokes.
Exactly.
Us the Deadwood.
Yeah, so but we're doing a crossover episode. It's our second time that we have done it. So back to back, going back to back, and there's not a heap of tickets left. So if you want tickets, that come along. It was really
four guys who don't have a dog in the fight haven't for the entire final.
No, none of our teams made the final, so that should be a fun old time. What else? We have
website.
Website.
Tofop.com. Because we have another podcast called Tofop, which is kind of like this, but just not about football. You've got Willosophy. You've got Fofop, which is like Tofop, except you get a comedian on instead of me. You can find us on Facebook, Two Guys, One Cup on Facebook, on Twitter. You can find Will on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. Anything else?
I don't know.
I feel bad that I tipped Adelaide. I want people to know that I want Richmond to win, but I feel like Adelaide will get it done.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I think as well.
Yeah.
But I think maybe there's a small part of me that wants Adelaide to win and Richmond to fuck it up in some weird and spectacular way.
Play on, not 15.
Well.
are two guys, one cup.
That person just tossed litter out their car window.
Let's report them.
I am.
Search for Report to EPA.
One step ahead of you.
Report a tosser. Search Report to EPA to report littering from vehicles. Fines apply. A New South Wales government program.